This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Hallelujah. Someone is clapping for Jesus this morning. Come on, make it bigger, make it better. Amen. For all of those amazing ministrations this morning, one more time, let's give Jesus the biggest clap this morning. Let's clap like young people this morning. Let's put some life to it. Thank you, precious Father. Blessed be your name. Is there someone that has come with a red eye this morning? Is there someone hungry for the word this morning? Join me, lift up your hands and lift up your voice and cry out to God, Lord, in this second segment, send me my own word. Lift up your voice, someone desperate for a change of position. Someone desperate for a change of location. Lift up your voice, and if I were you, I would lift up my hands also and express my desperation to God this morning. My Father, I am ready for you this morning. Send me your word again. I am set for you this morning. Send me your word again. I have not come to return the same way I came. I have come desperate for a change. I have come ready for a shift. Lift up your voice. Someone is expressing your desperation this morning. I will not return the same way I've come. No, I will not return the same way I've come. Thank you, precious Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Someone expecting the biggest testimony, shout the loudest amen. Give Jesus again a big, big, big hand. And please be comfortably seated. Amen. I count it a great privilege as given to me by God and by my Father to bring the word in this segment. And I'm so confident that somebody is returning empowered supernaturally from this mountain. If that person is in church, your amen will show you are here. Very quickly this morning, we are looking at a very interesting subject. Engaging the dominion power of vision. Engaging the dominion power of vision. I'd like us to be reminded this morning as we kick off that the end time church of Christ is ordained a dominating church. The end time church. The end time church that you belong to, the end time church that I am privileged to belong to, is ordained a dominating church, a reigning church, an empowered church. Daniel 7 and verse 27. Daniel 7 and verse 27. Now listen to this. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven. He said, it shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. And there are many of them seated here right now. Come on, I said there are many seated here right now. He says the kingdom, the dominion, and the greatness under the entire heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Now watch this. Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom? And all dominion shall serve him. All dominion. In Revelation 11 and verse 15, it said the kingdoms. Revelation 11 and verse 15. The kingdoms of this world. This is God's end time agenda. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. Now hear this morning. We are programmed by God to take over the reins. In these last days, you and I are programmed orchestrated by God to take over the reins. In fact, we belong to the takeover generation. Is somebody hearing what the word is saying? In these last days, we'll be taking over kingdoms and territories. And that's why we have come to this mountain, to be empowered to break new grounds. To break new ground simply means to take over new territories, to conquer mountains. That means that you that came will not be the you that will return. Now listen to this. Upon your return, you'll be taking over territories. Someone is shouting an amen like a you that is alive. But when we refer to the church, it is not just the structure. We are talking about the people. The end time church is made of the people, not the structure. It's made up of a people who are hungry and desperate to fulfill end time prophecies. Now listen to this. The destiny of any people is at the mercy of the vision that drives them. The destiny of any people is at the mercy of the vision that drives them. That's why in Proverbs 29 verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. When vision is absent, destruction is evident. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So at the root of the diverse frustrations of many today, many youths across the nations of the earth, at the root of the diverse frustration is vision bankruptcy. Vision bankruptcy. Many walking on the streets today are vision barren, vision deficient, vision bankrupt. They can't tell where they are going, so they don't know how to get there. Many young people walking the streets today are vision barren. They lack the slightest idea. And that's why many are frustrated today. But I've got good news for somebody here. Upon this mountain, may God open your eyes. You are shouting amen, shouting like a true believer. So the strength of this end time church is, amongst others, anchored on her visionary drive. Her visionary drive. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, we see this replicated in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. The same picture. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord. Now watch what he says he will do. He said, I will pour out my spirit, capital letter S, my spirit, the spirit of the Lord upon all flesh. Upon all flesh. That's why we see revivals breaking forth everywhere. Across the nations of the earth, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now watch this. Your sons and your daughters shall begin to prophesy. And I like this part. Your young men shall see what? Visions. Visions. So one of the core attributes of the youthful phase is the ability to catch visions. The strength of this end time church will, amongst others, be anchored on a visionary drive. A visionary drive. So from those scriptures, we discover that the strength of the youth is determined by the potency of your vision. The strength of the youth is determined by the potency of the vision. Their vision. His vision. Her vision. Now listen to this and let it sink into our spirit, man. Let this word sink into our spirit, man, that your future is in his plan, not your plan. Your future is in his plan, not yours. So relax. In Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, I'd like to read the Revised Standard Version. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. If you have the Revised Standard Version, please project it. It says, for I know the plans. This is God speaking to somebody here this morning. He said, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. And watch it. He said, they are plans of welfare. Did somebody hear what the word is saying this morning? There are plans of welfare. God is thinking about your good, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I've got good news for you. No matter how you came, you have a future. You may have come, maybe before you came on this mountain, you came without direction, frustrated, dejected, anxious. I've got good news for you. God is saying you have a future. And here it is, your future is not an ordinary one. Your future is an enviable one. You receive that, your amen is showing it. It was Dr. Miles Monroe of blessed memory who said, the greatest gift ever given to man is not the gift of sight, but of vision. The greatest gift ever given to man is not the gift of sight, but of vision. Sight is a function of the eyes, but vision is a function of the heart. So quickly, what is vision? Let's take some quick definitions on vision. What is vision? Number one, vision is the unfolding of God's master plan for an individual. The unfolding of God's master plan for an individual. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb. Watch this. He said, I sanctified thee and I placed a mandate and a mantle upon your life. Vision unfolds God's master plan. Every time I read this scripture, Jeremiah 1 verse 5, I catch a light that simply means that I existed before I was created. That means God knew me before I was ever born. That means he ordained me for an assignment before I was formed in my mother's belly. And that's the same heritage everyone has. So when you catch a vision, it is the unfolding of the master plan. No guesswork. No assumption. Now listen to this. There are no accidental creations of God. No matter the circumstances through which you were born, you are not an accident. Is somebody hearing it? You are not an accident. There are no accidental creations of God. We are all created to fulfill a purpose on the earth. And may I pray for somebody seated here this morning. Everything that God has planned for you and packed in your destiny, may you fulfill it. Someone is shouting amen, shouting like a true believer. Now hear what Paul the Apostle said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16. He said, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. But when it pleased God, who separated me? So Paul had an understanding that he was separated for a divine assignment. He was separated. So even before his encounter with Christ, he was destroying what he was ordained to build. But the moment he came in contact with vision, everything changed. May somebody catch a revelation of your vision on this mountain. Number two, what is vision? Vision is divine insight into God's plan for your life. Divine insight. Insight. Into God's plan for your life. It is simply knowing what you are here on the earth to do. Divine insight. Divine insight. Number three, what is vision? Vision is simply knowing why, where you are going to with life. Simply put, it is simply knowing where you are going to with life. Where you are going to with life. Now here this vision is the strength of this end time army. We find that clearly from scriptures. One of the core attributes of this end time army is the visionary drive. Joel chapter 2, If you read carefully from verse 1 to 8, you see a picture painted of this end time army. It says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountains. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Tremble. Why? For the day of the Lord cometh. It is near at hand. It has already come. And somebody will feature in that future. It has already come. He says, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong. Now watch this. There has not been ever the like. You are born in due season. We are born in due season. This scripture is simply saying, this category of visionaries, there has never been the like of them before. Neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Now jump quickly to verse 4. It said, the appearance of these people, the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. And as horsemen, so shall they run. So shall they run. Verse 5, so shall they run. So shall they run. Quickly, the next verse. Verse 5, quickly. It said, like the noise of chariots on the top of the mountains, so shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoured the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Get set. We are just about to take over our generations. Now watch this. God will be empowering many people to begin to conquer several mountains. From this platform, many will be taking over the mountain of media. Some will be taking over the mountain of education. Some will be taking over the mountain of governments. But it's my prayer that may you find your own mountain. You are shouting amen, shouting like a true believer. But here is a word of caution to all youths. Beware of following your plan. There's no future there. Beware of following your own plan. There is no future in it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And just in case you think you are smart, it says, lean not on your own understanding. And in verse 6, it says, in all your ways. How many of your ways? Come on, say it loud and clear. How many of your ways? In all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Only the one that knows the way can show the way. Beware of following your plan. There's no future. It is time for us to begin to subscribe to the Creator's leadings. Any product that despises the manufacturer's manual will end up in destruction. And somebody's asking why? Why? Why must I line up? Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right. By all intellectual analysis, it looks right. By all professional analysis, it looks appropriate. There's a way that seems right. Not everything that seems right is right. There's a way that seems right unto a man. He said, but the end thereof, there are ways of death. Now, that same scripture is repeated in Proverbs 16 and verse 25. There's a way. It looks good, but it does not mean it is good. That's why our fathers often said, not every open door is God's door. Some are traps in disguise. Not all that glitters is gold. We must be very careful. I'm reminded of a testimony of a sister. Many years ago, when I was privileged to pastor on the foreign field, this woman had a fantastic job, doing well. And she has served about 9 years. And just about to cross into the 10th year. And by the provision of that organization, anyone that clocks 10 years, there are so many benefits that come. So many. And she got a job that paid more than what she was earning. They are paid in dollars there per hour. And this new job had so much dollar per hour over what she had. And then she was excited. And she was screaming, "There's another open door. I thank God for this door." She was celebrating it. Now, rather than going to seek the face of God, is this open door your door? And she left where she had sat for 9 years and jumped into the new one. It began rosy the first month. Oh, more salary. It began rosy. It continued rosy the second month. But the third month, they had a challenge in the organization and they needed to downsize. And they started with the latest employees. And she was cut short. So she lost where she had sat for 9 years. And she lost the one she thought was a new open door. May you never be forced into a wrong door. Now listen to this. God's plan may not appear sensible, but it is ever profitable. God's plan may not appear sensible, but it is ever, forever profitable. 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 Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. It says, "Take it to thyself that ye offer not thy burnt offerings in every place. In every place that thou seest. Because everyone is going in a direction, does not make it a direction for you." He said, "But in the place which the Lord shall choose, in one of the tribes, where thou shalt offer thy burnt offering, and thou shalt do all that I command thee." Not every open door is God's door. God's plan may not appear sensible, but it is ever profitable. Never forget this. His ways are always higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and verse 9 paints that picture. The ways of the Lord, they are ever higher. Never compare your ways with God's ways. There's no platform for comparison. His ways are higher. They may not make sense, but they are always profitable. Think about the Lagos invasion mandate of this commission of our Father. In the year 1989, just at the point where the church in Kaduna was exploding. At that time, they had counted about 3,000. Exploding. And suddenly, God says, "Arise, get down to Lagos, raise me a people." And he had to leave everything labored for all those years. And move to start a fresh walk. Oftentimes, God's leading may not appear sensible, but it is ever profitable. People may mock you when you are following God, but it's just a matter of time they will join to celebrate you. And when he moved, I can imagine the things many may have said in those days. "You are leaving 3,000. You know what it means to have a church of 3,000 in the 80s? Mega church. And you leave to start afresh. 50 people, 100 people, 200 people, 250 people. 300 people, you left 3,000, but are we still 200 today? At the time when the Rajiova church was exploding, erupting, you need to see the pictures of those days. You need to watch the videos. People were sitting on trees. People were sitting on the rooftops. People were hanging even inside mosques to listen to the message. The entire territory was subdued. It was clear. Even the blind could know it. And here was God saying, "I will yet relocate." And he moved the church to the forest. I could imagine the statements made. Everything is working here and you are moving the church to a no-go, no man land. And when the movement came, Canaan land invasion, it came like a dream of the night. It made no sense. But is he making proofs today? The word is converging here. As we are speaking right in this place, nations of the earth are connected. When God is leading, it may not make sense to the natural mind, but it never lacks proofs. It may not make sense to the natural mind, but it will never lack proofs. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Neither can he know them. They are foolishness. They are foolishness unto him. You are following God's vision. You are following God's direction. People may call you foolish, but when men call you foolish, God is simply making you fool of his blessings. Making you fool of his blessings. Making you fool of his blessings. Now, listen to this. No man ever creates vision. We simply discover it. The assignment of man is to discover vision. Is to discover vision. Is to discover vision. Now, what is vision? Let's take some more definitions. Vision is the fuel of destiny. It propels destiny into motion. That is why where there is no vision, there is no motion. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. And the Lord answered and said, write the vision, make it plain, that he may run that reads it. Write the vision, make it plain, make it clean. When there is no vision, there is no motion. Vision is the fuel of destiny. It propels destiny. What is vision again? Quickly. Vision is a picture of your future from the scriptures. It is likened to virtual reality. Many of us are familiar with virtual reality. You are able to catch a picture. You are able to see what you are born to do ahead of time before you touch it. You are able to see from where you are a glimpse of where you are going to as ordained by God. Now listen to this. It may be out of reach, but it should not be out of sight. Your destiny may be out of reach at the instance, but it should not be out of sight. And that's where vision comes. You are able to see a picture of your future as ordained from the scriptures. Others may not see it. That's why they may mock you, but it's okay. Is somebody hearing what the word is saying? Many years ago, I went hunting for some teachings of the early days of this ministry. And you needed to see the picture and the image of our Father in those days. Teaching and preaching. Making bold declaration about the future that God has ordained for this commission. And I watched one of those videos. Black and white kind of picture. And he was preaching. He had a small Bible like the size of my palm. And he was preaching so passionately. So passionately. And I could imagine the faces of many people looking at it. He was saying things that were too far for ordinary minds to comprehend because he had seen it. He had seen it. And today we are living in the reality of them. The practical reality. The practical reality. Undisputable practical reality of the things he was saying those days that it made no sense. When you hear visionaries speak, they speak their future from their present. They speak the future from their present. Now, today, there are many things that have been mistaken for vision. Too many people have mistaken other things for vision. And let's run through a few of them very quickly. And we must beware of the spirit of error that comes in the picture of vision. Number one is ambition. 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 Too many people today mistake vision for ambition. Or rather, mistake ambition for vision. What is ambition? It's a natural, strong desire to achieve something. I must make it. You hear many young people make some statements today. And inside those statements, you can smell the craving for power, the craving for fame, the desperation for social status, ambition. I must make it. I must hammer. All kinds of statements. Psalm 85 and verse 8. He said, I will hear what God will speak. I will hear what he will speak. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again unto folly, unto foolishness. Ambition. Number two is imagination. Imagination. Painting false pictures with faulty foundations. Psalm 2 and verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Many mistake imagination for vision. Number three is reaction. Reaction. Many have claimed to have received visions and mandates for their lives, but when you check it properly, they are simply products of reactions. Reactions. There are actions and steps taken in response to a situation or an event. Actions, steps taken in response, reaction. And they call it vision. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 17. He said, be not overmuch wicked. Overmuch. Overmuch. Neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? No one here will go before your time. You are shouting amen, shouting like a true believer this morning. Number 4 is taking shortcuts. Taking shortcuts, sharp practices, fast moves. We see many young people today taking shortcuts. So interested, become a millionaire overnight. Shortcut to becoming a billionaire. Shortcut, fast moves, sharp practices, and they mistake them for vision. Exodus 13 and verse 17. And it came to pass. Exodus 13 and verse 17. It came to pass when Pharaoh let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return back to where they were coming from. No one here will go back to where you are coming from. Then number 5 is comparison. 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 And this is one of the greatest challenges in our generation today. Comparison. Many claim to have received vision because they saw someone else doing it. Many claim that this is their assignment for life because they saw a friend excelling in it. And they like it. So they catch it and they call it vision. Comparison. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12. He said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. He said, but they measuring themselves by themselves. Comparisons. Comparisons. And comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. In other words, it is foolishness to compare. Comparison is the game of fools. It is foolishness to compare. Everyone has a unique assignment. And every calling of God is a high calling. The Lord said that to me many years ago. He said, no matter what I've called you to do, every calling is a high calling. You can get to the top in any area I call you. Is somebody hearing what the word is saying? You discover that many young people today suffer from depression, anxiety, what? Comparisons. And today that social media is everywhere. You see that picture of your friend, you get depressed overnight. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. You see your friend has bought a new house and they put it everywhere. You look at it, you get depressed. And I've come to discover that a number of the things on this social media platform, not all, but quite a number, are fake. Have you discovered that you don't post your ugly pictures? Come on, help me, help me. You don't post your ugly pictures. You snap maybe 5, you check carefully which one is the nice pose there. And then you post it there. Many years ago, I was privileged to pastor in the U.S. about 7 years now. And then a brother just relocated from Nigeria to the U.S. Barely a month. Barely a month. This man had no place. He was courting with someone. He was trekking because he had to balance. He came for a visit, but he threw his passport away. That's a story for another day. And then this young man now took a picture beside my car by the driver's side, and he posted, and somebody snapped him and he posted it on Facebook. You needed to see comments. Oh boy, God don't bless you. Comments were flowing everywhere. Oh boy, sharp, God don't open door. All kinds of comments. Now here is response. We thank God though. 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 Now the friend he left in Abakaleke that sees that picture, that in 1 month see the car Johnny is driving, he will say to himself, even if I will trek to that America, I'm going. Not all that glitters is gold. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. So even if your friend is advancing and making strides, thank God for him. Thank God for her. Celebrate that person because your own too is coming. And now listen to this. In this kingdom, you are permitted to overtake. Somebody upon your return from this mountain, you will overtake. Shout amen like a true believer. Now, as we begin to close, what are the things we must note about vision? Let's note the following about vision. Number one, everyone has an appointed place in God. Everyone. Everyone. You and I, we have an appointed place. Specially ordained for you and I by God. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 10. For I will appoint a place. I will appoint a place. God speaking. 2 Samuel 7 and verse 10. I will appoint a place for my people Israel, that they may dwell. And I'll plant them there, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them anymore. 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 So no one is born to be everywhere and to do everything. No one is born to be everywhere and to do everything. There's an appointed place for you. May you not miss your appointed place. Now the truth is this, if you don't know who you are, the devil will tell you who you are not. And if you don't know where you are going to, the world will shift you to where you are not supposed to be. Be careful. Everyone has an appointed place. Everyone has an appointed place. There are too many wandering stars everywhere today. Wandering stars. Wandering stars. They carry destinies of stardom, but they have wandered out of their place. I met a man in the U.S. one time, and this man came for a meeting, and we're teaching on vision, and he sat down the front row and was crying. I was crying. I was wondering why. A very elderly man was crying. He was crying. And then at the end of the session, I called him and I began to ask him, why are you crying? And he said to me, Pastor, as we were teaching on vision, I was remembering all the things that God was showing me in the early 80s. This man should be in his late 60s now. And he said, I was remembering, and that was why I was moved to tears. And I said, what do you do now? He said, I'm a security man. And he said, I was in the forefront of the revival in those days. I was one of the core leaders. And he made references to some of the great men today. He said, but I shifted location. He said, and 30-something years down the line, see where I am. He said, that's why I'm shedding tears. Please hear this. You don't have an opportunity to repeat life. Be careful. Everyone has an appointed place. May you not miss your appointed place. Finally, number two, everyone has a God-ordained mission on the earth. God-ordained. God-ordained. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5 and Galatians 1, 15 and 16, there's a God-ordained mandate, mission upon your life. Too many have been dislocated in destiny. But I've got good news for somebody here. For anyone that has been shifting away from destiny, upon this mountain, God will retrace your steps. And peradventure, there's someone here, you have no picture, there's no picture of your future. May God show you upon this mountain. So this is my counsel. Settle down with the manufacturer. Upon this mountain, settle down with his manual and find out, what am I here to do? And as you go before the Lord with desperation and genuineness, he will open your eyes. Somebody's shouting amen, shouting like a true believer. May I recommend this book for every one of us, Understanding Vision by God's Servant. Understanding Vision by God's Servant. Settle down upon this mountain in the night season and settle down and ask God, what am I here to do? And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, every one of us will fulfill destiny in a grand style. You are shouting.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.